All right. So we'll bring him back next time. But thank you for the suggestion, Michael. Shall we now go back to and see if we can finish that off before coffee this morning? Whilst we're at the table, David, if Toshi can join us, and we'll have a look at Agenda Paper 9, the second aspect of the IFRS 1 issues today.
I think Toshi.
Sorry.
Agenda paper 9 deals with repeat application of IFRS 1. The request we received asks the committee to clarify an entity is required to apply IFRS 1 in its IFRS first financial statement if the entity has applied IFRS 1 in the previous reporting period. In May 2010, the committee tentatively concluded that IFRS 1 requires an entity to apply the standard when it meets the scope criteria, even if it has applied IFRS 1 in the previous reporting period. The committee asks the staff to present at the July meeting proposed draft wording for an amendment to IFRS 1. In this paper, additionally, staff provides an analysis, and it includes some related issues discussed by the committee at the May meeting, such as issue about whether the requirement to apply IFRS 1 is determined on a reporting entity or a jurisdiction basis. Staff recommendations are based on agenda criteria assessment and annual improvement criteria assessment. The staff recommends the committee should not add this issue to its agenda. And the committee recommends that board make a separate amendment to IFRS 1 as part of annual improvement project. The staff provides a proposed draft wording for the tentative agenda decision and amendment to IFRS 1 in Appendix A and Appendix B. Does the committee agree with staff recommendation, or does the committee have any comments or suggestion on the proposed draft wording?
Okay, any comments from me?
Yes, I do agree with the staff recommendation, but I have a concern about the second sentence of paragraph 2A of Appendix B, saying this requirement exists, even if saying that entity is required to apply the IFRS each time it prepares and presents financial statements that meet the definition of first IFRS financial statement. And second sentence say this requirement exists even if the entity has applied this year IFRS in a previous reporting period. I think either we should suppress the second sentence or be more explicit on which situation you can do that, because if we maintain it as it is, we might open a question about several time application of IFRS 1 in other situation we don't want to cover. So I don't think it adds much. My view would be to suppress it.
Yeah. You're perhaps concerned that this might lead to an annual adoption of IFRS 1.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is actually our intention. All right. So the first sentence of 2A, which I think clearly says that you are required to apply the IFRS each time you meet the definition. And so we don't need the second sentence for emphasis. But anybody object to that? You know?
I'm not objecting to that. I also had problems with the second sentence, but I wanted to change it because I think what we need to make clear and what we wanted to make clear is that, yes, you may have applied IFRS in the previous period, but not in the most recent. So we need to say in the previous, but not the most recent previous, because if we strike out the second sentence, we can strike out 2A. 2a then simply says what is already said in 2 letter a, because it says you shall apply, which means to me you have to apply. It, when you publish your first IFRS financial statement, and they are clearly defined in paragraph 3. So if we strike out sentence 2, I don't see any additional information that we give. So my proposal would be to make clear in the second sentence that, yes, you may have applied IFRS in one of your previous periods, but not in the most recent.
Okay. Or to use the words that are in the standard, the immediately preceding, yeah. Tak?
Yeah. Just the staff proposal is all right, and I agree with deleting the second paragraph of 2A. But please allow me to talk about a little bit related issue. When we talk about the first time adoption of IFRS 1, then I think we should discuss the parent subsidiary issue a little bit further. Maybe this title implies the question that when the parent company becomes the IFRS first time adopter, then can subsidiary apply IFRS 1 again? So I think currently, clearly, the answer is no, because there is a in IFRS 1, there is a paragraph D17, which clearly says that if an entity becomes a first-time adopter later than its subsidiary, the entity shall, in its consolidated financial statement, meet its assets and the liability of the subsidiary at the same carrying amount as in the financial statements of the subsidiary. This is written in D17. So I think the answer is clear. Even if the parent became the IFRS the first time adopter, subsidiary cannot apply IFRS 1 again. But when the subsidiary started the IFRS earlier than the parents, if the subsidiary kept the carrying amount, then that means in the same consolidated financial report, the different measurement exists in the same financial statement. And IFRS started used in the Europe 5 years ago. And there are lots of subsidiaries of Japan and the United States in Europe. They may have applied IFRS 1, say, for example, 5 years ago. And then many parent company is going to start to use IFRS 1 from next year or this year, could be this year. So in that case, there might be some practical difficulty what kind of measurement base should be within the group of the consolidated financial statement. Such kind of issue might be raised when after we issue this agenda decision. So that is the things we have to consider in later. So we are going to propose this amendment to board, and for urgent need, it's all right. I think we can go ahead with it. But at the same time, we may have to ask the board, we have to consider such kind of things in near future. But it's my opinion. It's not in accordance with any submission or something. But there is some discussion like this in Japan.
In fact, that came from left field a little bit there, because it's got nothing to do with the issue that we've got here, but I appreciate that by highlighting this fact that you might be able to adopt IFRS 1 for a second or subsequent time, that there may be some people who want to change. The issue you've raised, though, is something that has been around for many years. So it isn't new. Other countries have been adopting over the past several years and will continue to do in the future going forward. If it is an issue that you feel is of concern specifically in Japan, although I think it's not specific to your country, then the best approach would be, in fact, to raise the issue at a national standard setters meeting or with one of the regional meetings that you have with the ISB, because that really is where it should be addressed. We don't think, as you've just commented, that the standard is unclear on that respect, and therefore the change you'd be requiring is actually a direct change to the standard. So it doesn't really meet the criteria that we would have for an interpretive project. But we do have some sympathy. Wayne Upton, I can assure you, is somebody who is very empathetic to first-time adoption and is fairly active in visiting your region. So that's something I'll mention to him, but you can take it up as well through the national standards setters. Laurence?
Coming back on Guido's points, I also agree that if we delete the second sentence of paragraph 2, capital A, this paragraph has no meaning because it just repeats paragraph 2, little a. It says exactly the same thing. So this is why I would support that if we were to have a new paragraph added, the additional information we want to add is that second sentence, but modify so that there is no mistake that the previous, when we refer to a previous period, the previous period is not, cannot be the most recent period. And,
Andrew?
My comment was actually on the agenda decision, just a point on the third paragraph. I mean, the second sentence of the third paragraph says, however, the committee observes that the scope of IFRS 1 is not clearly stated and should be clarified. And I really wonder whether that sentence is necessary, because it might encourage people to do the wrong thing, whereas the staff paper makes it, paragraph 18 said, staff believe the IFRS 1 is clear. So I just wonder whether that subtly might send some wrong messages and whether that sentence is necessary.
Okay. Ruth?
I had a question for Todd, just listening to his issue, and I just wondered whether...
Sorry, is it on the issue of the TAC raise, or is it on the paper?
No, it's on this amendment. But
right.
I was just wondering whether TAC's issue could mean that people would interpret our amendment to say that, notwithstanding the other provision that says if the subsidiary, like the subsidiary went first, that you use the subsidiary's numbers, that people might read 2A to override that. That came into my mind as he was talking about the issue.
I thought the issue was more centred around the fact that there's a parent that hasn't previously issued IFRS financial statements, a Japanese company adopting in 2010, 11, 12, but it has subsidiaries in Europe that adopted IFRS in 2005.
Yes.
The question is not for the parent and the consolidated financial statements, because that is a first-time adopter, but whether or not the subsidiary could adopt. But the subsidiary, if it asserted in its most recent published financial statements that it was IFRS compliant, clearly cannot adopt, and that's the essence of this amendment,
yep.
Cannot adopt IFRS in the subsequent year, that is the year in which its parent adopts. They can't re-adopt using IFRS.
No, I understand all of that. But I was, as he asked the question, what I was wondering was, is our amendment going to make people think whether the subsidiary can take advantage of that? That's all I was.
I think TAC and others are dreaming and hoping that perhaps their problems can be solved. You might consider the difficulties that your subsidiaries will have in re-adopting IFRS 1 again for the first time. It's a question of whether there is a need to do that. The provisions of IFRS 1 are to make it simpler to adopt for the first time, not to continue to rechange and restate the figures. But that's why we can look at that offline. I would hope that once people have started saying we comply with IFRS, that they'll leave it there. Scott?
My comments on a basis for conclusions of the draft. There's not really a basis there. We say that people raised questions. And as a consequence, we decided to clarify that you have to do it each time. I think the basis for that conclusion is actually kind of missing. I thought that you know, we agreed that the reason why you have to do it each time you re-adopt IFRS is that the definition focuses on your most recent financial statements. And therefore, any time your most recent financial statements are not IFRS, you're a first-time adopter, whether it's the first time you're a first-time adopter or not. So I thought a sentence or two should be added to the basis for conclusion to actually point that out. But I didn't come up with the words.
All right, we'll take that suggestion, and I think it's an editorial drafting point, and we can add that into the basis for conclusions. I'm still left in some doubt as to whether you would like the final sentence of 2A leaving in or taking out. I think the point has been made that if we take it out, that it makes 2A redundant, and if 2A is redundant, then what are we bothering people with? So if we want to make it clear, bearing in mind this immediately precedes paragraph 3, which defines in great detail what an entity's first IFRS financial statements are. Scott?
I like the clarification that Laurence and Guido proposed. I think we can certainly do that.
Okay. A little bit tortuous, but no more tortuous than we've got at the moment.
Bob, I'd almost I agree with the drafting recommendation. I think my view would be I'd rather keep that second sentence in, but with the clarifications that Guido and Laurent suggested. So I may ask just if anyone would object with us taking that wording into the...
It's unusual structurally because you're actually giving the definition of first financial statements in the paragraph that precedes the definition, but... That's the structure of the standard. All right, we'll make that change. So it's clear that if it had asserted in its previous financial statements it complied with IFRS, it may not adopt the standard. That should be crystal clear. All right, then formally, if I can ask, as this is a proposed amendment we're going to be recommending to the board, does any member of the committee object to the staff recommendations and the wording of the proposed amendment and the proposed agenda decision as modified? Okay, no objections.
Just we keep David Toshin here a little bit to us at the moment.
Okay.
And come back to us.
All right. We're not going to miss out completely on paper 11, but we'll just keep that in abeyance at the moment, as David seems to be on a roll. Toshi is here with him. Sorry, Ruth.
I just had a question as to what's happening with the IFRS for SMEs, because the staff noted that it's different, but I wasn't clear what you propose to do about it, if anything.
I don't think we're proposing to do anything about that. Certainly from the SME standard perspective, that's outside of the remit of this committee, and so as far as transition from SME standards to full IFRS, yes, that's a specific type of previous gap, but I got the sense from the last meeting that there wasn't a mood for this committee to look at that in any greater detail to see if there should be anything different incorporated to IFRS 1.
In the sense that a company that asserted compliance with IFRS for SMEs isn't somebody who's asserted compliance with IFRS as defined in IFRS 1 and therefore would be eligible to use IFRS 1 in its first IFRS financial statement.
But it's the other way.
The SME standard, I think, is clear on what to do in that circumstance.
Right. So that's my question is, if they go out of IFRS for SMEs and go to something else, and then come back to IFRS for SMEs, they can't reapply their IFRS 1, so which is inconsistent with this. So My question is, are we just going to leave that, or are we going to recommend that the board look at it and consider it, or we're just going to do nothing?
We recommend it to the board, but the board has said that it will not change the IFRS for SMEs for a period until it's conducted a post-implementation review, which will be 2 years after the effective implementation.